Hey, we've been talking about time and money, and it's interesting because we got a lot to talk about right now, and I don't have time to talk about all the things that I would like to talk about in regards to time, which is an interesting problem to have. We're going to rehash some of what we talked about last week to get us in there, but in general, in February, we're what are you doing there, buddy? Just kidding. Man, I love Oliver. Itchy, as we call him. If he has the choice to be itchy or stinky, you chose itchy, right? Sticky. Sticky. Itchy or sticky, you chose itchy. Man, youth group, huh? No, just me. People start clapping. Yay, David's clapping. Anyway, time and money, right? This is a big tension because we all naturally want to hold these things tight. We control them. Spoiler alert, all of us die, and then we're not holding our time and money anymore. It's gone. It's all gone. And so as I've been moved to talk about these things, I've been moved to wrestle with them in my family, we said, you know what? Let's talk about these things at church. Let's see what the Bible says about these things. And it's uncomfortable. How in the world do I take what is somewhere around 15 to 20 hours of studying intensely just the ideas of seventh-day rest and Sabbath in the Bible? How do I take all those hours and put them into 27 minutes for you all right now? Well, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. I'm a little nervous about it, but there's a lot here. There's a lot to talk about. We're going to start with prayer because, again, we acknowledge here that ultimately we're here to worship God. We gather as God's people to say, Jesus is Lord, you're King, you control all things, and we're here to worship you. And so we've done worship now through corporately singing songs and hymns and spiritual songs together, as Colossians 3 would tell us. Now we're going to read the word together. We're going to read God's word and see how it transforms our lives. So let's pray together. Father, thank you for this opportunity for us to get into your word. I pray right now that you would give us ears to hear, you would give me words to speak, and that your spirit would move. We trust you, and we want to find ultimate rest in you. Amen. Last week we talked about time and how we're all bound by time, right? And it's a problem, it's uncomfortable to us, and it should be uncomfortable. All of us have this issue of, I wish I had more time. There's not enough time in the day, it's a Monday, I wish I had more time to do this and that. Those of us who are older would say, I wish I had more time with my grandkids, I wish I had more time when my kids were younger. People are always telling me that. This happened in the supermarket yesterday. An elderly lady, kind, she was trying to buy salsa, I was reading every salsa label in the aisle, and she just kindly said, man, you've got four kids, it goes by really quickly. And then she walked off with kind of a sad glaze in her eyes because she's remembering all the time she had with her kids that she doesn't get to have anymore because they're all grown up, right? And those of you now, you've got that glaze. You're looking at me like, let's not talk about that. Time is uncomfortable. It's tense. And most uncomfortably, we die. We talked about that. We read the verse in Genesis 5. Adam died. That was a part of the curse, and he died. And so it should be uncomfortable to us. Time should be uncomfortable. It makes sense because we weren't created for that. More on that here in a minute. I think as a quick reminder, we talked about this Heschel quote about how time is not a thingy, but we treat it as a thingy. And I want to keep reminding us of that because it's a discomfort that we need to live in. We think that we control time. Also, we think sometimes we control God because we put it in a box. We are thingies. And so we like to control thingies. That's what we do. That's your job. Your job is controlling matter around you, whether it's punching a number or healing a patient or moving these logs over to this log or lumberjack theme or moving things around. This is what we do. We control thingies. We take time and we do the same thing. But time's not a thingy. You don't control it because you don't know when your time's up. You don't know how much more time you have. There's this discomfort here. And we do the same thing with God, by the way. We try to control God like he's a thingy, and he's not. God's not a thing. That language doesn't even work for God. When we start talking about God, philosophers use words like God's an incorporeal being. What does that mean, philosophers? He's not a thingy. That's what we're trying to say. God's not a thingy. We can't control him. C.S. Lewis has a helpful quote in all this that I think kind of encapsulates what we talked about last week. C.S. Lewis says, notice how we are perpetually surprised at time, how time flies. Fancy John being grown up and married. That's how you know he's, you know, European or British. He says things like fancy. I can hardly believe it. In heaven's name, why? Unless indeed there is something in us which is not temporal. We're fascinated by time. It seems to move really quickly. It's uncomfortable for us. Why? Because there's something in us that was not temporal. And we talked about last week how God created Genesis 1 and 2. He created good things, and he created a perfect world for us to be in, and we weren't supposed to die. We brought death on. Why? Because we wanted to do things ourselves. We didn't want to live in the image of God. We wanted to live in the image of us, do our own thing. We don't merely want to be an image bearer. We want to be the image of ourselves. And so we went against God, even though he told us we'd bring death. And turns out he was right. We brought death. And so now we have death. And we ended last week talking about this posture. You remember this? We open our hands. We live open-handedly. Why? Because we were not meant to die. And we don't control anything, but we are meant for eternal life. And the only way we get eternal life is not by doing this, trying to control things, but to come to Jesus. Because Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Mankind brings death. We bring death. You go and die. That's the truth. But Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And we get there by trusting in him. John 17:3, this is eternal life, that they know you and the one whom you've sent, Jesus Christ. Do you know Jesus? The reason you're uncomfortable with death and time is because you weren't created to be bound by it. You were created to live eternally. But in yourself, you're gonna bring death. But through Jesus, you have eternal life. We live open-handedly. That's what we talked about last week. If you're like me, though, striving to live like this is a problem. Maybe you've tried this week. Maybe you've had this posture several times. We have in our family, and it's a struggle. It doesn't happen often because the idea of giving up my time, giving up my possessions, living openly, that seems foolish, unwise, difficult, stupid. Who's got time for that? I don't have time to give up my time. Too busy, right? We live in a culture that is so busy. We've got things to do. We're go, go, go. Let's go. We got to do the next thing. Got to get to the next thing. We calendar, we structure, we plan because we need to make sure we're controlling time because we got the next thing to do. We're so busy. We're a culture that lives for the weekend, right? You work and work and work so you can have the weekend. And the weekend's never enough because you still got Monday and you got to work again. And you work and work and work for your vacation. But then your vacation stinks. You need a vacation from your vacation. Then you know, oh, well, one day I'll retire. Right? And it'll be great and glorious. And the retired people said, yes, it's great and glorious, but there's still stuff to do. We're still busy. There's no retired person that's sitting around doing absolutely nothing and satisfied with their life. There's things to do. You're still busy. That's our culture. So how can we live open-handedly? How can we live as if we were eternally created for God when we're bound by the busyness of time? Wouldn't it be nice if we had a pattern to remember being open to God, if we had a pattern to protect us from being so busy that we're consumed by the cultural narrative of doing more, having more, go, go, go. That's what we're going to talk about this week. We're going to talk about Shabbat. We're going to talk about Sabbath. If you want to grab your Bibles, there's three places we're going to be this week. We're going to be in Genesis 1 and 2. We're going to be in Colossians 2 and Matthew 11. Genesis 1 and 2, Colossians 2, and Matthew 11. If you don't own a Bible, there's one in front of you in the seats. If you don't own a Bible, that's our gift to you. But I encourage you to get a physical Bible that you can look at. You can be on your device if you want. Here in a minute, I'm going to hit hard on devices, so don't let your device be a moment of discouragement for you later on. But get a Bible. Genesis 1 and 2, Colossians 2, and Matthew 11. In the Bible, early on, we have two words for rest that come up. The first one is the word we get for Sabbath. It's Shabbat. Can I hear you say Shabbat? Shabbat. Everybody. Shabbat. Shabbat. Right. This means stop working. Stop. The root word means stop. Right? And it's not this idea of just clocking out because someone else is punching in. Okay, I did my shift. Now this other shift person's coming in. Bunch of shift work. Like, oh, no. This is stop working because the work's complete. So it would be like we needed logs from here over to here, and so you move them over here. Now they're over there. It's done. Your work's complete. You're clocking off. It's done. This is the idea of Shabbat. The work is complete. The next Hebrew word that we get very quickly is noach. Everybody, ugh, you get that Hebrew ugh in there. It's great, helps you clear your throat. Noach means to dwell or to settle in. Imagine like resting with people in front of a fireplace or you go on vacation, you unpack your bags, you're gonna settle in for a few weeks. The whole point is to rest, but you've gotta settle in. You gotta kinda unpack and just kinda be there. You're dwelling, you're settling. So you have Shabbat and Noach. And these verses come up, or these words come up very quickly in the Old Testament. First, Genesis 2:2-3. Right before that, we see God created all the good things, right? God creates things. He creates order from chaos. That's important for us to remember, right? God speaks 10 times. There's all this chaos, and God brings order to it. And in 6 days, he creates all things. And then this is what we get, Genesis 2, 2 through 3. By the seventh day, God completed his work, which he had done, and he rested, Shabbat, on the seventh day from all his work, which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work, which God had created and made. So right after God Shabbats, he's done working, by the way. He clocks out in the sense, not like we clock out, we go, and we have the weekend, yo. No. This is, he's done. He's completed his work. It's all done. It's all complete. So what does he do? Well, now he rests in it. He settles in. He, Noach, Genesis 2:15. Then the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden to cultivate it and keep it. So you have this idea of Noach here. God does two forms of rest very quickly. He creates, and then he stops because his creation's complete. Seventh day, it's all done. So in the seventh day, there's no work to be done. You're just resting. So you stop and you rest. You Shabbat, you Noach. And so God settles in. I think this is an important idea for us to catch. This is creation. Stop everything you think about the world right now, because it's probably wrong. That's why Jesus said repent, right? Here's what you were created for. You were created to settle in, to sit by the fire, to encamp with God in perfect unity with him and creation, where you're not fighting the ground, you're not fighting pain, you're not fighting temporary time, tension, and death. You're just existing. Imagine that. We can't, because we're limited. Because in all these moments, we're thinking about our next moment. We're too busy. We can't imagine just existing, but you pine for it. Your spirit groans for it. That's why you want the weekend. That's why you want vacation. That's why you care so much about how many vacation days are when you get a new job. That's why you're adding up when your rest is. You're saving for retirement. You're ready for your 401k. You're wanting all these things, because deep in your soul, you were created just to dwell with God. That's the image you were created in. God created you to Shabbat, to stop, and to Noach, to settle in with him in perfect unity. And all of you hardworking type A people would say, that's stupid, I can't do that right now, because XYZ would fall apart. What in the world? All the mothers out there, man, if I stop and rest, my house would go aflame because my children are animals, right? I get that. That's what we have. Genesis 3, right? We bring death into the world. This rest doesn't last for long. We corrupt it. We destroy it. We take what God created. We rip it apart. And now there's this tension. Now you don't rest. Now you're busy. Now you're go, go, go. Because you can't rest. Because you're constantly fighting against the earth. You're fighting against the sin and death and pain all around you. We see over and over in the Old Testament, God graciously continues to give us his presence, though, because he's generous. More on that next week. But we see that God gives his people all these different ways to connect them. First, through the tabernacle, God's presence is there. You can be with me. Then later on, through the temple. Over and over, we see people of God drawn to him. Moses gets to go up on Mount Sinai and be in the presence of God. And we see this pattern of seventh-day rest over and over and over in Scripture. Seventh day rest, seventh day, over and over and over. I wish we had time right now to talk about all this, but God rests on the seventh day because his work's complete, not because he's tired, right? And then he puts us in the garden to work it, not fight it, not have pain and death, but to live in the image of creating good things. The reason that you want to go, go, go is because you were created to create good things. That's the image of God, right? You want rest, but you want to create good things. And that's a huge tension in you, because you want to rest and you want to work at the same time, and you're fighting that your whole life until you're dead. But what if you were created to do both in harmony with what God created? Amen. That's why you're created. That's why you exist. So what do we do with that? We see this pattern of seventh-day rest over and over and over. The first thing God calls holy in the Bible is Sabbath. That blew my mind when I heard that. Holy means set apart, huge theme in the Bible, one of the biggest deals in the Bible. First thing God calls holy is the seventh day. Do you have a Sabbath in your life? Do you see seventh day rest as holy? Nah, if you're like me, you don't have time for that, right? Too busy for that. What a silly idea. I had a list of all these sevens in the Bible, and I was just going to make your hair blow back on this seven and that seven, that seven. Do me a favor. This week, homework, Google sevens in the Old Testament. If you Google sevens in the Torah, you'll get a whole bunch of weird, angry Jewish stuff that'll make you angry as well. Not that there's anything against Jewish people, but sometimes when you use words like Torah in Google, you get a lot of angry hate stuff. Here's the truth, though. If you just Google sevens in the Old Testament, you'll get lists of over and over and over sevens. They were to pick up manna for 6 days and then stop on the seventh day. Moses goes up to Mount Sinai seven times, right? When there's a tension between Abraham and several different people, he does sets of seven things. There's hundreds of these things. The reason why is because everyone knew from the beginning the ultimate goal is seventh day rest. And we have no framework for this. And so I say these things, you're like, wow, neat Bible nerd stuff, David. No, it's so important though, because to understand the Old Testament, to understand one of the whole points of Scripture is to understand the seventh day rest, to get back to what God created, to take this stuff that we've ripped apart and to have it once be connected again. Over and over and over, we see this pattern of seven. God sets up the seventh day Sabbath for us to rest. It's one of the Ten Commandments. It's right up there with don't kill, don't lie, don't steal, don't have any other gods before me, and keep the Sabbath. Right? That's kind of how we think about it, right? Don't kill people, and also, you know, you should rest sometimes. Sabbath is important, but just don't kill people. Please don't lie, right? It's one of the Ten Commandments. First thing God calls holy is Sabbath. One of the Ten Commandments is Sabbath. Do we treat it that way? Do you have a pattern of rest and Sabbath in your life? Is it something you think through? If you're like me, you don't, because that's the whole cry of the Western world. How foolish is it to set aside time to just rest and dwell and exist with people? We do that on Thanksgiving, maybe. Maybe holiday times, but if your family's like mine, holidays are also stressful and busy, so who's got time for that, right? God set up this seventh-day pattern. In Jerusalem right now, by the way, at 4:30 p.m. on Fridays, you see Jerusalem with this hustle and bustle because the Jews still celebrate Sabbath. And they know, hey, at sundown, Sabbath starts, and I can't buy stuff in the market anymore. So it's inconvenient and it's difficult, but I'm going to be forced to just shut down because they have a pattern of stopping. God gave us this pattern. Sabbath is all about taking one day a week to stop from our toil and our work and our busyness and live as if this ultimate seventh-day rest exists. We live as, just like when we come in here and we sing songs about God restoring the world, but then we go out and we see the world is still broken. But we take these moments to remember God said he's going to do it and he's going to do it. Sabbath rest was to remember every week God is going to bring back this seventh-day union, this perfect order where man and creation and God are all in unity together. It's symbolic behavior. It's ritualistic. It's like loving your enemy. Jesus tells us to love our enemy, knowing that one day, when God redeems all things, they're no longer our enemy. So why not love them now? Right? It seems like you're living foolishly and living in pretense to love your enemy, but actually you're living eternally. You're open-handedly trusting God with who your enemy is. We open-handedly trust God with our time. We have Sabbath. It's living with an alternative script. It's being renewed in mind and repentance. There were loads of these things in Bible. You had Sabbath, you had all these festivals, you had something every 7 months, every 7 years, every seven times seven, the year of Jubilee. Over and over, you see these patterns of seven to remind us that, no, this is the goal, and one day God's going to bring it back. And I can't overemphasize this enough, because by the end of this sermon, by the end of this day, we're not going to be thinking about that. We're not thinking about seventh-day rest. We might be thinking about heaven, when we all get to heaven, completely negating that this has been the pattern from the beginning. Not heaven where you play a harp and everything's magically better because you're happy and you're in heaven and that's what cartoons told us, but no, a perfect world in which God and creation and man is made in harmony together and you have meaningful work to do and you have meaningful rest that you get to dwell in with God. That's the ultimate hope of Scripture. To help us kind of encapsulate all these ideas, we're going to play a video. Recently, these videos we watched here at the Bible Project, they put out a really good video on Sabbath. And so we're going to watch it. It's going to save us some time and also kind of explain some things about how all this works and how it all connects to Jesus. Check out this video, and then we'll keep wrapping here. Maybe you've never considered this theme of rest. You've never considered this tension of why you naturally desire to work You always have to work. You want to be creating something. You want to do something. No one sits around and does nothing. You say, what am I going to do? Even if you do nothing, that's what you say. I'm going to do nothing, right? You have this tension of needing to work, needing to be busy because you were created to create good things, while also having this tension of needing to rest. You want a vacation. You want leisure time. You want to stop. Can't wait till you retire. These tensions exist in us because God created us to create good things and live in a world with perfect union in Him, where we create good things in Him and we rest with Him. But we don't live in that. It's all messed up. It's all just trash, jacked up. We have all these problems and it's not working out. So what do? Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Take a look. Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is a really hard verse for me to read, to get through, because I immediately recognize how much I don't believe this. Sure, I believe in Jesus, I believe in the Bible, but my actions in life don't show that I believe this. I don't really trust Jesus with my weariness, with my heavy ladenness. I make my stress, my anxiety, my busyness compile into more busyness, more things to do, more things to accomplish. Because living like this and opening my hands and trusting that Jesus controls everything, so I'm just going to put it towards Him, that seems foolish and stupid. And so I don't. But Jesus says, come to me. David, when you're weary, when you're heavy laden, I will give you rest, that rest that you ultimately crave. Not this eternal rest we say at funerals or someone's in the grave and then may they rest in peace. No. The rest that you were created for, eternally living with what God created you for, right? It's this whole side conversation how once you live for Christ, once you submit your life to Christ, Jesus helps you interpret what you should be living for. It's possible that all of your life, the way you're living your life, could be wrong. You could be missing something. How would you know? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. You would know through Jesus. You would know through knowing Jesus. Do we have rest like this in our society? Do you have rest like this in your life? No. I mean, let's be real. We don't because we're too busy. Are we not? Right, you're busy right now. You're thinking about what's next. I'm consumed right now with what I've got going on the rest of the day. I know the plans are coming up. I know how busy things are. I know what's going on Monday. I'm thinking about the weather, how things shift. We're busy. We're so busy. And of course, it makes sense because it's all part of the curse. It's all part of these things that happen. But we're fighting our limitations of time. We're fighting the earth. We're fighting this curse of death. We're all personally addicted to achievement and consuming. We want more, which makes sense. If we have an enemy, if we have a fallen world, of course, that's the message. Why would you hope in ultimate rest if evil can deceive you to hope in your personal achievements? We wear it as a badge of honor. I didn't sleep all night so I could finish this project. I was up all night taking care of baby. Oh, you didn't get sleep? You must be more valuable than me. Good job. Hooray for not sleeping. You're a better human than I am because we wear it as a badge of honor. You don't need rest, you need busyness. Get a bunch of achievements, have a whole bunch of stuff, completely forgetting the fact that we're all gonna die and those achievements fade away and all your stuff becomes future garage sales anyway. But no, that's our focus. We laugh, but we're this way. We know people this way. Achievements, that's all we want. We're addicted to self. We think that we control our future because we can try to figure out health, fitness, safety, money, morality, and pretend that we're not dependent. Oh, I read an article this week on the 3 stretches I need to do every morning for my back. I'm going to do my cat stretches. I did not plan to get on the floor and do this. Wow, that's embarrassing. I'm going to do my cat stretches. I read a blog post on kale and coconut oil, so I figured out my health. Things are fine now. I'm not dependent on nothing. And then we come in here and we sing songs. All to Jesus I surrender. I'm dependent on you, God. I trust you. And then we walk out those doors and we plan and we calendar as if the world depends on us. I'm no different. These are things I struggle with. This list comes from my heart. These are things I struggle with. We're so busy constructing our own image and personhood that we completely forget the image that we are created in. Is it possible that the reason you're so discomfortable with your life, the reason things are so uncomfortable and you're not happy, is because you're not living in the image you were created for? Certainly. How would you know? Jesus says he gives you rest. More than that, though, we have the attention industry. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Netflix, YouTube, and they're all fighting for your attention, and they're monetizing your attention, drawing you away, sucking in all your focus and attention that should be God's. And I'm not here to be the guy that says, Netflix is the devil. Get up off that Netflix devil. No. There are some good things there. But I am saying that if it's not stirring your affections for Jesus, what's it doing? Because maybe you're unaware of this, but Netflix, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, they spend millions every year to find research to understand how to manipulate your brain and attention. That should embarrass you. You're just a number to them. Google doesn't care about you. They're listening in on your devices to figure out how to market to you and sell to you so that they can control your attention. That's all they want. They want your attention so they can make more money. And we just feed into it. Feeds into our busyness. The worst part is, what kills me, what's on my heart about this, is anytime I might hear a convicting thought, I might hear a thought that goes against the schema of the world that I think is true, I hear something contrary to what I want, what great saints of old in the Bible would call conviction, anytime I'm convicted, all I need to do is turn my phone over or look at my smartwatch. It's gone. I don't have to think about that. Because our culture has trained you, it's trained me to say, if you're bored, if you're uncomfortable, if you feel distracted, if it's silent, don't spend 2 minutes at the stoplight in deep thought. Look at your cell phone. Oh, someone wants to talk to me. Something's important. I've got a notification. I've got emails. I've got to work. I've got to stay busy. You're busy. So why would we need to be convicted on anything? Why would you need to care about what we talk about on Sunday mornings? This moment, we're all just a few notifications away from forgetting everything we're talking about now. And all of these attention-seeking markets are spending all the money to make sure you're that way. Why would I need to have meaningful conversations with my wife and develop a rich marriage with her when I could scroll Facebook? Again, Facebook's not the devil. That's not the point. But the point is, if this is where we're spending all of our time, maybe that's where our true value is. Maybe that's really something pointing towards where our identity is actually at. Jesus says he comes to bring us rest. The God who was, who is, and is to come is making all things new. Even when we don't see it, God says, I'm making your life right. Your past, I've dealt with it through Jesus Christ. Your present, I'm dealing with it through Jesus Christ. Your future, it's sealed with me through Jesus Christ. And you can hold tightly your money, your possessions, your time, and believe that you've got this, but it all goes away because you're not taking the U-Haul to heaven. All your stuff will be sold on the lawn at some point or passed down to someone who will eventually sell it on the lawn, even if it's some precious family heirloom worth millions of dollars. Somebody gonna pay for it at some point. It's not yours. You're gonna die. But God says, I have life. I created you for eternal life. Death doesn't have to control you. Your sin doesn't have to control you. Do you want that rest? Do you want to be free from these things that entangle you, that strangle you? Again, you have that tension. You feel it. You feel busy, yet you want to create. You want to rest, yet you want to create. But you can't because work's hard and things stink and family doesn't work out and jobs don't work out. Feel that tension rip. And Jesus says, I have rest for you. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. How do I rest? Quick couple thoughts here on what rest might look like in your life. We want to avoid, we don't have time for talk about that. Talk about that another time. Sorry, Paul. Colossians 2, another day. Resist the attention economy of the world. Acknowledge that your device is not neutral. Acknowledge that all of these things out there are trying to monetize your attention. And they're not, your Facebook account doesn't give a rip about your affections for Jesus. It doesn't care at all about stirring your holiness. The suggested thoughts for you to watch on YouTube, on Netflix, they're not concerned about stirring your affections for Jesus. It's likely that your boss, that your job, that the patterns of this world that you give every moment of your day, they're not interested in your affections for Jesus. And so we want to resist that. We want to have some sort of pattern to say, what does that look like to set that aside? In my life, my family and I try to set our phones aside. I have a drawer, two different drawers that I put my phone in to say, I'm gonna get away from this for a little bit. Maybe you start a ritual in your family that says, you know what, from Friday night to Saturday night, we just don't check our phones. Or maybe we have one phone that we check every 6 hours in case the world blows up and we missed it, or whatever. But you resist this idea that you always need to be busy and connected. That's one thought. Second one is practice a pattern of sunset to sunset. This has really been helpful for my family. We're still wrestling through what it means. But all the Hebrews, their day didn't start when they woke up and got coffee. Right now, my day starts when I wake up, I drink my first cup of coffee, and I say, oh, 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 David's ready to roll. Let's go. My day has started, right? That's how we approach the world. In the Hebrew world, their day started when the sun set and they went to sleep. The very first thing they did in their day, and think about that, your day, your Monday. What if the first thing you did was sleep for 8-10 hours? What would that mean? That would mean that while you're vulnerable and being needy and dependent and sleeping, there's a God who never sleeps that's sustaining you and taking care of you. And when you wake up in the mercy of knowing that God allowed you to wake up because he's been sustaining the world while you sleep. Despite your calendar, despite your importance, God has sustained you. So maybe you take one day a week to say, you know what, from sunset till sunset the next day, we're going to acknowledge that we need to resist these things that suck our attention away, and we just want to rest. We want to exist, to dwell with God. Remember, this isn't lazily doing nothing. This is just existing with God. Set aside time to rest with God. Maybe you start where you're at. Similar to talking about tithing, right? Tithing is not the objective standard for everyone. It's a place to start because Jesus tells us to give everything away. And ain't none of us signing 100% checks over from our bank account this morning, right? And so maybe there's some variance here to discuss. Right now, you're not going to have full rest with God because you have sin. You have death. Right now, maybe it's impractical for you to say, I'm going to have a whole day of rest and just dwell with God and exist in harmonious relationships. Maybe you say, I'm going to take 3 hours. I'm going to start with 3 hours because that's what I've got. I can give 3 hours, and I'm just going to try to disconnect and trust that God is the one who sustains me. I'm going to give God my time and rest in him. Again, by rest, I mean dwell. Just exist. Exist with God. Don't say, what would I do? Because as soon as you say, what would I do? You're killing it. That's not the point. Just exist with God. Exist with your family. It's a relational thing. All the Hebrews, they Sabbath together, right? Just exist with God. Start where you're at. Go for a walk. Enjoy creation. Enjoy a nice leisurely walk. I don't understand you if you enjoy a run, but maybe that's your thing. Go run. Create something with your family. Build stuff. Cook. Be hospitable. Invite people over to say, hey, we're just existing. We're just enjoying the world God's given us. Because we know things are broken and they're not ultimately working out, but we know that one day God is bringing seventh-day rest, that Jesus says that we rest in him. And so we're going to live like that for 3 hours, for 6 hours, for 12 hours. And we're going to have a ritual every week to remind us of that. Maybe that's what you need. Yesterday, Nikki and I were watching a show that I won't mention because you'll judge me. But in that show, they had fat, unhealthy pancakes. And so I said to myself, you know what we need at 1:45 p.m. on our rest day? Fat, unhealthy pancakes. Wife, do we still have fat, unhealthy flour and just cheap, classic, purified, filtered, nasty white sugar? Not the healthy coconut sugar. Where's our nasty, sinful sugar? And I made the fattest, unhealthiest pancakes you've ever imagined. Why? Shabbat. We said, you know what? We're just going to exist. And I made them with the kids. And it was perfect and beautiful and everything went smooth. No! It was awful! Gosh, Elsie and Bear both had to be cooking at the same time with me. And if you've ever been around a mixing bowl, that's not a place for two small children. And then as soon as you turn on the thing, what's it called? Yeah, everyone said something different, but you get it, the blender thing. Man, you don't want your kids by that because that thing will suck their soul in. And so they're like this, and then the other two boys are arguing because they're trying to do different things. And it was just like this, where's our beautiful pancake moment? We're supposed to be Shabbating. You're going to fail at it. You're going to struggle because it's countercultural. It's broken. It's ripped. How do you do it? We're fighting against the idea that we're busy. We need to do more. We need to consume. And so whether you take 3 hours or 12 hours or 24 hours, understand you're going to fail at it and you're going to struggle. But we rest in Christ. And whether you're just enjoying pancakes with your family or enjoying the lack of perfect pancakes with your family and you're fighting, or you're building stuff, or just chilling, hanging on the floor, playing tiddlywinks, or whatever you do with your family, you're doing that as a subversive idea to say, I understand that God controls my time, not me. Jesus says, come to me, all you are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. You will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden's light. How can we weekly give our time away to the Lord and trust in him in order to remember that it's all his? How can we stop Shabbat and Nuach, dwell with him, open our hands? It's a discipline. It's inconvenient, but it's what we were created for. Through Jesus, get back to eternal life. We get back to understanding the way things should be. And interestingly enough, if all of us live this way, what would that communicate about who Jesus is to our friends, to our coworkers, to our family, to our city, to the world? We would take back time and say, hey, it's Jesus who understands eternity. We'd take back busyness and say, actually, God is the one who brings us rest through Christ. Everything comes back to Jesus. I'm going to ask the band to come up as we move to close. Catch this as we start closing. You are not created for the hustle and bustle, rat race of busyness, of go, 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 more, more, more. That's not what you're created for. You're not created for having your attention sucked in by some flickering pixel that defines your identity, that makes you feel somewhat significant, so that one day you raise your head from all of your screens and technology and recognize that this life has passed you by, the people you love are grown and old, the things you love to do, you're too old to enjoy them. You're not created for that. You were created to live eternally with God in perfect rest, creating good things and enjoying the world the way it was supposed to be. Do you live in that freedom? Do you know Jesus? Because apart from Jesus, you're feeling this tension right now. And before you look at your phone and you go out through Monday and forget this, take this moment, if you don't know Jesus, to recognize the reason you're uncomfortable in life, the reason you feel conviction right now, is because you're not living what you were created to live. You were created to live eternally apart from death, not to be confined by time. You were created to create good things that Jesus defines, that Jesus tells you what to do with your life. Is it possible that your job could be more joyful and more peaceful if you were doing it in Christ? Is it possible that your hobbies, that your family life, that everything you do in your life with your time, with your moments, could be redeemed through Jesus by him showing you how to live, by him giving you rest through those things? We're going to move to a time of response here, and we don't believe that the word of God ever falls void. We've read scripture. We're going to have a time of response because God wants a response from you. And maybe that response is just worshiping. We can stand together, we're going to sing worship songs, and you worship him because you trust that he has your time. Maybe that response is still there. Take a moment. Everyone open your hands. Maybe this is still your response. You open your hands to God and you say, I'm going to trust you with my time. I'm going to give my time to you. I'm going to find weekly patterns to trust you with my time. Maybe that's your response. Maybe you need to give your life to Christ. You need to be baptized. You need to join the church. God's moving something in you. There's a card in front of the seats in front of you that could help guide that decision. You can take a look at the gold and black cards. Maybe there's something there for you, or you just need to worship. But this is your time right now to respond to God, respond to the word spoken. May we continue to live open-handedly with time and continue to point towards Christ, because the only rest you'll ever have is in Jesus. Let's pray. God, thank you for this day and for this opportunity. Thank you for waking us up this morning and sustaining our life. God, I pray that by the power of your Spirit in the name of Jesus that you would turn our attention towards you, that we would live open-handedly, and that all parts of our life would come under your authority, that we would believe that you're Lord and everything we do would be pointed towards you. Help us to move our attention towards you. Show us the patterns and rituals in life you want us to have to remind ourselves that you're in control. that we don't possess anything, but that you're the one who controls all things. Give us rest through you, Jesus. Thank you for the rest that you give us. Amen.